Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Neverland Podcast, episode 59.
We're talking about it once a month, so
you know, it's been stopping from
very valuable.
Feel like you're labeled.
I've been
a very strange place that you've chosen for us to transmit today, Shadow. What am I even looking at here?
I don't know. Truthfully, I try to, spice things up a little bit, just, keep it a little bit. Keep us on our toes. It's one of
clearly,
those things.
Clearly. This is definitely the most unique. I mean, what is that tree doing? Why is it blue?
I don't know. Podcast Overlord, do you have any insight on this one? Because thanks for joining us.
I don't even know how you got me here, okay? That's what I want to know.
Don't tell him about the
drugs. Must be some special crossing of the streams or something here.
Yeah, some
streams definitely were crossed.
It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. I'm sorry. It's all it is.
That guy in green tights flying there. I didn't think Arrow could fly.
That's not Arrow. I don't know what that is.
True. Arrow does salmon ladders.
Come with me if you want to live. I've always wanted to say that.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Jeremy. I'm the Pan. Your location here has been compromised, and, well, they are coming. You know, the ones that are trying to suppress the truth you're always trying to talk about on CCU. Well, I've got to get you out of here, and I'm going to just take you on to Neverland.
But, Jeremy, how do we get to Neverland?
Fly, of course. It's easy. All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and a little bit of pixie dust. Now, just think of a wonderful thought.
Any merry little thought? All right, then I'm going to think of Arrow Squad.
And I'll think of Central City Underground.
Ooh. And I'll think of Prophet Cast.
Off to Neverland!
Take a star to the right and stay on till morning. Neverland.
Good morning, Neverland!
All right, well, Neverlanders, welcome. We are back again. I hope you all brought your pixie in your pocket to have your pixie dust. We have some guests with us that I've just brought from Central City.
Woo-hoo!
Well, since you're all here, we need to kind of officially induct you here into the Lost Boys. Of course, girls don't get lost, so they're all pixies around here because girls
are
too
it.
Clever. And I
really
didn't write
like
that.
You,
it's in the book.
Oh. Right.
But girls are too clever to get lost. So that's why. Yeah. So if any girls ever come along here and say, well, why can't I be a lost girl? Because girls don't get lost. But so we got to give you guys some official names. So I dub you now, of course, Lost Boy Brian. For anyone who is not familiar with Brian, he's found usually on a show called Prophet Cast. If you're a podcaster and you're looking to expand your audience or monetize your audience, good show to listen to. Also, of course, he is part of, well, moving his way out of Central City Underground, which is a Flash podcast. And also, you can find him on Arrow Squad, of course, obviously based around Arrow. So we would deem you now Lost Boy Brian, but we hear you've already got a nickname for a Lost Boy, so we're going to just call you The Shadow.
Hey, that's perfect. Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks, Pan, for having us on today. Appreciate it.
No problem. And then we move on over here to Pixie Emily. Pixie Emily also can be heard on the Central City Underground, and I don't know if there's any other podcasts you're a part of?
Not currently.
Not currently.
Nope.
Well, Pixie Emily, we are going to refer to you as Miss Ice, because that's the name you came with.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Jeremy. Pan, it's great to be on today.
And also we have with us the podcast overlord, Lost Boy Kevin, who I guess you kind of oversee this thing here. You're part of Arrow Squad as well?
Yes, I am. And being the overlord, I do oversee all. You are correct, Jeremy.
Of course.
There is not much that podcast overlord doesn't do.
Yeah, kind of omniscient.
All right. Well, first I must swear you in. While you are here, you must promise to be grow strong, grow wise, but never grow up.
Yes.
I think I can commit to that.
I swear to that. Absolutely.
Now you are our official Neverlanders. Everybody Woo-hoo! Cheer. Yay!
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I feel honored.
Your attention, please.
Disney movie news.
All right. So the big... Maybe some news might be bigger that I'm coming later. But this, technically, as far as news goes, would be the biggest news that happened in Disney for the week.
Big Hero 6, because it's big.
Exactly.
Oh, you're thinking of something else.
Well, no, but I actually am thinking Big Hero 6.
Oh, yes!
Big Hero 6 is nominated for Best Animated Feature in the Academy Awards.
Nice.
I don't watch animated movies.
I don't either, but that one I did watch and it was good.
It was. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm shocked. So,
you're here in Neverland and you've not watched animated movies. Okay, we're going to have to school you. You're going to have to watch some stuff because you're missing out.
I have seen
stuff.
Frozen.
No, she's saying Frozen. She doesn't currently watch new animated movies.
Oh.
Right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and I'm saying I don't as much either, but Big Hero 6 was one I had to see, and that was glorious.
You know, I've heard great things about it. So
it is so good.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that it got... So it was nominated for Best Animated Movie?
Best Animated Movie.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And somehow or another, the Lego Movie got snubbed. I don't know why, because Lego Movie was a lot of fun and so innovative, but they got snubbed. Don't know why.
Jerks.
But they're not Disney, so we don't care.
Yeah. Screw them.
Yeah. Screw them. But another one. Now, this to me is a bit controversial, and I'll get into why. But okay, so Meryl Streep is nominated for Best Supporting Actress in Into the Woods. Now, I'm sure she's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I got a bad taste in my mouth from Meryl Streep, because you guys, I don't know if would be paying attention, but there was some sort of awards or program or something about the time that they were about to start shooting Into the Woods that Meryl Streep ran her mouth and said some false things about Walt Disney. So, and there was a lot of people when it was announced, when we heard Meryl Streep was going to be in a Disney movie, a lot of us were saying, cut her out. I will not see this movie just because of her unless she apologizes for what she said. And that has kept me from seeing it. Also, a really good podcast, Disney Indiana, they did a review of the movie, and they did not like it. Now, I hear it is apparently very good for if you're a fan of this Sondheim, who wrote the musical. People who are fans of that apparently might like this movie. I am not familiar with that guy, so I'm going to skip it until I can watch it for free on TV. But she's nominated, and good for her. I'm sure she was awesome at playing, a witch. So, okay, that was bad. Bad host, bad Pan. Okay.
No, you know, I completely understand avoiding movies because of an actor, and I just love Meryl Streep, so I'm really excited to see this movie.
That's all.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, then.
Thank you. I appreciate
no problems
it.
With someone
well, plus
else
it's
going,
Emily but... Blunt and what's his face from Doctor Who.
There's somebody from Doctor Who in there?
Really?
Yeah, it was the guy.
I haven't seen the movie.
It's the guy from The Lodger that from series 6 or 7? 6.
I've got no clue.
Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
Johnny Depp's in it, but that's about all I know.
Oh, that's right.
And he's supposed to look like a wolf. He doesn't look like a wolf.
I like Emily Blunt, though. She's pretty cool. Well, you know, and you're right.
I don't know if I've seen her in anything.
She was in Edge of Tomorrow, if you saw that.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought it looked kind of cool, but I didn't see it.
Glorious movie, by the way.
I'll see it eventually.
Boys, yeah. I have a question for you. What is the deal with Anna Kendrick?
Who is Anna Kendrick?
She's the other actress in that movie, Into the Woods. Like she's all of a sudden in everything, and I don't know who she is, but everybody is just like... all about her right now, and I don't know.
No idea. I've heard her name, but I don't know anything about her. Yeah, she's right. She isn't. I'm looking this stuff up right now. She isn't. Oh, she was in Twilight. It looks like.
Oh, that's why I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
James Corden.
Okay, I know. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know the guy who played Captain Kirk in the newer Star Trek movies is in there. Is like Prince Charming, I think. So
is he really?
Yeah.
Chris Pine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Chris Pine. He's pretty cool. But speaking of Doctor Who, I have to make the connection just because you brought it up.
Okay.
Since we're going to talk about Arrow later in the show. But I noticed last night that I did recognize Captain John Harkness and River Song are regular characters in Arrow.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Alex Kingston and John Barrowman.
Very cool.
Yeah. No, that is really cool. I like that they're both on that show. And John Barrowman does a fantastic job as Malcolm Merlin.
Oh, man.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
So evil from what I saw.
Yeah. It's
but anyways, back to the Oscar list. We're getting way off track.
We'll get to all that later.
Yeah, we'll get all of that later. But okay, so speaking of Into the Woods, actually it's nominated for Best Costume Design from a designer, Colleen Atwood. And this is also where it gets kind of interesting. Now, I have to give credit to this movie. I hated it. But Maleficent for costume design, for Anna B. Shepherd and Jane Clive, yeah, they did a good job. And they really did make Angelina Jolie look like Maleficent.
Yeah.
So kudos to that. Yes, they did do a good job. And that is something I will give them credit for. It's just the story, how it went, I didn't like. But we won't get into that. I've ranted enough about this on the show.
I just got to say one thing about it. Like, I didn't mind the movie. I wasn't impressed. You know, it was one of those ones where I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was good. It was just kind of a, okay, it's over. But the one thing that just was starting to get to me is, man, creepy stalker. Hello. She was like, dude, stop watching her. It was getting old. It was getting really old.
Not to mention that really the entire storyline is about a psycho ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was so, pretty much we'll move
just... So you both would recommend me to watch this?
No.
Don't. You might need counseling.
I'm really picking up on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Skip it.
Yeah, just
go
skip
watch
it.
The animated classic Sleeping Beauty. I absolutely love that. Yeah. But anyways, moving on to makeup and hairstyling.
Hairstyling.
But I love this. This is a perfect pick. It's from Elizabeth Yanni Giorgio and David White. I probably said her name wrong, and I do apologize. But they are nominated for makeup and hairstyling on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Woo! All right.
And they have to get it because, oh my gosh, they turned two people into complete aliens. Well, okay, of the main characters. But then you've got what they did to, oh golly, and I lost her name. She's on Doctor Who.
Karen Gillan?
Yes, Karen Gillan. Shaving her head and changing her so much to where people didn't even recognize her.
Yeah. Oh, it took me well into the movie to maybe even toward the end. There was like one movement that she did that was totally a Amy Pond movement that I was like, oh.
I thought it was a totally different actor. I actually thought it was the girl from, do you remember the show Andromeda?
I remember hearing about it, but I never saw it.
I mean, she also was a doctor in Smallville as well. And she played a few. I can't remember her name, but I thought it was her. And I went back and I'm like, what? Yeah. It was impressive.
The only reason I knew that was Karen Gillan is because I had heard the audio of the Comic-Con when they were just starting to shoot for Guardians of the Galaxy. And she took her wig off her head and threw it into the crowd because, yes, I just look at me, I had to shave my head.
Wow. She actually shaved her head?
Yes, she really had to shave her head. And all even with Selfie, which too bad that got canceled, I liked it. But she was wearing a wig actually for that as well. Oh. Her hair was slowly growing back, but she, you know, her character didn't die in Guardians, so maybe she'll be back, so she might have to shave her head again. But yes, she did shave her head, and that's the only reason that I knew to be looking for her. And when I saw a bald woman, I said, Karen!
Wow.
Well, no, I didn't say it out loud because everybody would turn around, shh! So, and my wife would have hit me, so.
I gotta say, though, what really impressed me was making Vin Diesel look like a tree. I mean, that's like the best makeup I've ever seen.
Really? I didn't see anything different about
him. Oh, okay.
I am Groot.
Making him act wooden, you know.
That's that was probably it.
I actually have to give him credit because for being able to only say one line multiple different ways, I think he actually did a good job.
He did, and I like Vin Diesel anyway. He's a classic action actor.
Not a good one, but maybe...
No, but he's classic, exactly. That's the point.
I don't think I've seen him in anything.
Oh, the Fast and the Furious movies?
I've not seen those.
Oh, those are just
amazing. Enough of the first one to know I didn't care about the rest of them.
Oh, I like those, though. I'm kind of crazy like that.
When something gets 7 sequels, you got to know it's bad.
Actually, the 6th one was probably the best one.
Way around.
Okay. It was amazing.
We'll take your word for it.
You want to move on? Well, you know, okay, yeah, moving on.
That's a Disney movie, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it yes, was. Fast and Furious was Disney.
Cars? Oh, wait, right.
What was it? Did Touchstone release it or something?
I have no idea.
I was just being sarcastic.
I thought it was Disney.
No, I don't
no,
think
we're
so.
Kidding. Yeah. Don't worry, we're joking
Back
around.
To something that was Disney. Yes. Now, okay, you said you saw Big Hero 6, right?
Yes.
There? Well, remember the animated short film Feast in front of it?
Yeah.
Nominated for Best Short Animated Film.
Interesting.
I'm so happy, because that was adorable. I loved it.
Good.
And the final thing we have on here is for production design, Into the Woods by Nathan Crawley and Gary Fetish. And that is everything that I saw that I knew. Oh, wait, there's more. There was more stuff that's actually Disney stuff. Visual effects.
Yes.
And there were, all right, one thing I'm going to mention that's not really a Disney film, except for Disney does own Marvel, so it still counts, but X-Men Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick it out there. It's nominated for Best Visual Effects.
Works for me.
And that's pretty obvious. Guardians of the Galaxy, of course, very obvious. Visual yeah. effects were splendid. And, of course, Captain America the Winter Soldier, yeah. which... Yes, great visuals on that one. The main thing, though, I got to give credit, though, X-Men Days of Future Past, and I think that they may win it, is the entire scene with Quicksilver yes. running around and knocking out all the guards and setting up all this stuff, and especially what sells it is the song they chose, If I Could Put Time in a Bottle. That is hysterical, and I love everything about that scene.
That's yeah. Quicksilver. Okay.
Just to spend them with you.
Oh, that was one of the best scenes in my... Oh, my
that
gosh.
Was yes. an awesome scene.
Yeah.
Yes. For that scene alone, I'm going to make a prediction that that one's going to win for visual effects.
I hope so.
Amazing.
I would have to say X-Men actually was better. Even though Guardians of the Galaxy was just stunning, I would have to say X-Men was a little bit more creative and amazing with that stuff. A little more classy.
Yeah, with the effects, yeah.
Yeah.
No one expected that. And I would love the Flash to pull that trick sometime.
Oh,
that would be so
once he gets really good with his powers.
Yes.
Oh,
it would be amazing.
So cool. Oh,
I would cry.
Okay.
This will be a day long remembered. It has seen the end of Kenobi and will soon see the end of the rebellion.
Plug in. He should be able to interpret the entire Imperial network.
Welcome, young Skywalker. I have been expecting you.
Star Wars News.
Now we have one awesome piece of Star Wars news.
Woo!
This week marks the return of Star Wars to the Marvel Comics family of comics. Which is a bad sentence, but okay, so back, and I think they even started in 1976, it was before the first movie came out, Marvel released a comics adaption of Star Wars, A New Hope. And so now, after all these years that Star Wars property has been over in Dark Horse, and now that Disney has bought both Star Wars and Marvel, finally they have started releasing a Star Wars comics, and issue number one came out this week, and it had multiple different covers. I've got kind of just a traditional really cool cover. It has Luke in kind of what he was wearing there at the end of A New Hope. This picks up right from the end of A New Hope and continues on from there. My review for it, basically, I don't want to tell you anything about the story because it is awesome. Basically, we find our heroes from the original trilogy stuck in over their head in something once again. Has a fantastic cliffhanger. The art in here, let's see, who was the artist on this thing? Because, oh my gosh, it is spot on. The everybody looks exactly like they're real actors and actress who portrayed them. The artwork is stunning in here, and I love the fact that the very opening page is, it's all black, of course, with a little bit of stars, and it says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You turn the page, and it's a big two-page scrawl, Star Wars,
nice.
The logo.
Nice.
Oh, and so this is an awesome beginning. I highly recommend it. It's probably going to have to go to second printing before you get it if you didn't manage to get your copy. But on the back page, we have... Okay, well, there's an ad for Star Wars in 100 different scenes, but we also can see they're going to release, as they're calling it, Marvel Legends Star Wars, but they have a Star Wars Omnibus Volume 1 hardcover, which is on sale now. It even has a variant cover, and there's going to be a Volume 2 coming out in May, but they are reprinting the original Marvel comics in these hardcover books.
Wow, really?
Wow,
that's
yes.
awesome.
So I'm getting them.
That's cool.
I don't know how much it's going to cost me. I might have to save up a little bit, because I'm also trying to buy all my Disney Infinity stuff at the same time, but nice. Oh my gosh, I have to buy this. But also in the edition that came out this week. Now, I don't know if the reprint editions are going to have this because, you know, they're, hell, second printing. You should have got the first one. There's a little bit of a preview where they've taken the dialogue away from it, but they have previewed the upcoming Darth Vader. I believe it's just going to be a limited series, but it is supposed to be on sale in February. A Darth Vader series, for crying out loud. How awesome is that?
That's cool.
And then also a Princess Leia limited series. Now, the first issue of this will be in March. And looking at the artwork in here, it's done by Terry Dodson, which anyone who has read a lot of Spider-Man here in the last, say, 10 years, he's done some work on Spider-Man. He's very distinct on how he draws eyes, and especially female eyes. And so, of course, being with a lead female protagonist, you know, the way Terry Dodson's going to draw her, you're just going to love it. So I'm highly recommending you pick that up when that comes out as well. But that's all I have for at least some Disney and Marvel and Star Wars news.
So how many out of 10 walking carpets would you give the rating of this new book?
11.
11 out of 10.
See, well, we got all go to 11.
These go to 11.
These go to 11.
Why don't you just make 10, you know, better?
Huh? But these go to 11. Well, I had to add the pause in there,
oh,
too.
Oh, it's perfect.
Love it.
Oh, he exploded when he read the book.
I did.
Flash of green light.
Of green light, a little bit of... And it was over.
It was swamp gas. Yeah.
I should add the burp sound effect right there when, man, you say swamp gas.
Are we nerds or what?
Yeah!
Woo! Long live the nerds.
To Disney and beyond.
Okay, so there's been actually, for a long time, there's been like TV shows based on superheroes from the DC Universe and the Marvel Universe. Now, the earliest one I can remember is Batman. Now, I don't know when y'all first got to see some of the old Adam West Batman. Mm-hmm. But they used to actually show it on syndication here in Kansas City. It would come on right after He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
That's awesome. He-Man, now I watched that. I didn't watch the old Batman very much.
Oh, my goodness.
But I actually did, you know, like walk right next to Adam West at Comic-Con this year in Colorado. And all of a sudden I'm like, that's Adam West walking like 2 feet from me. And then he pulls his jacket over his head and runs off and gets on a little...
You have that effect on people, don't you, Brian?
I do. I love to throw, you know, just scare people. I mean, I am from Starling City and Central City. It's kind of a, you don't know, really. I am the shadow. Let's put it that way.
And Batman did have a little basis from the shadow. They got a few ideas from him.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Well, I can remember watching that one in reruns after school when I was a kid. That and Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Star Trek, the original series. Yeah, lots of good reruns.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I know of Emily, I bet you've never seen this before in your life, have you?
What? I've totally seen this one.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
And no, I was lying.
What color was the Batman?
Black.
Nope. Sorry.
The best superhero movie or TV show that I watched as a kid was called Action Man, and he solved crimes by doing math. That was what I was allowed to watch as a young child.
That's awesome.
Must have been on PBS or something.
I was going to say, can we say Sheltered?
Yes, we can.
But you did watch one of the shows that we're going to talk about here in a minute, so we'll get to that.
Right, so I still get points.
Yeah, you still get points.
Okay, yes. Good. I'm waiting for the points. Yes. Keep going.
But the next thing that at least I have the biggest memory of is The Incredible Hulk. This was an 80s television show.
Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Here's the funny part about The Incredible Hulk. It'd be weird to think that I'm actually would be a fan of him in these days, because when I was a kid, I loved The Dukes of Hazzard. But in order to watch Dukes of Hazzard, you had to get through an episode of The Incredible Hulk, because my family would want to watch Incredible Hulk, and then Dukes of Hazzard would come on afterwards. So I'd have to sit through The Incredible Hulk, and it scared me to death when he would change. Just
awesome.
Freaked me out. So if I'd have met Lou Ferrigno, I probably would have run the other way, even though I found out he's really kind of cool. So.
Well, I met him as well this year at Comic-Con.
Oh, wow.
And, did you scare him away too?
No. He looks exactly the same and still has the same amount of muscles.
So this was not an animated Hulk?
There was an animated series as well. You know, I didn't really list any animation here on the. These are all live action. But there was an animated Incredible Hulk that they started rolling after they'd had a Spider-Man series, which eventually became Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and then they added an Incredible Hulk and had like a whole hour of Saturday morning Marvel fun. So, but we're gonna focus on live action for now.
All right.
I am impressed though that Lou Ferrigno, you know, being that, what is he now? I don't know. He's in his 60s, but he is in incredible shape still.
Yeah, I wish I had his secret.
Steroids is what it is.
I hope not.
I wouldn't be surprised. No, he's just in good shape, and he eats well, and he works out.
Just the right amount of Red Bull.
He's motivated. I love it. 5 hour energies in Red Bull.
Yeah. It's actually probably salmon ladders. I was about to say that.
You beat me to it. I said it's salmon ladders.
He probably does.
That's going to be her answer for everything, isn't it?
Yes. And for anyone who doesn't understand salmon ladders, you need to go listen to Central City Underground, because then you'll understand salmon ladders.
Oh, yeah, that Arrow Squad. Yeah. We talk about salmon ladders a lot now as a joke, and it's even being made fun of on Arrow now, which is great.
My goodness.
What is that used for? Distracting me.
Yep. It's a great line.
Wow. Okay. And then some other things that I remember. Okay. So, of course, the Incredible Hulk, they had some TV movies for him where they'd have him meet Thor with a really bad outfit. The worst one was when he met Daredevil and they just put him in all black and it looked nothing like Daredevil. But there were some other ones that I had not realized until like a little bit older on USA Network. I think it was like Labor Day weekend or something. They would show these like made for TV, and I guess it was meant to be a series, but it's made for TV Spider-Man that was gosh awful. Basically, even though he's supposed to be, you know, super strength and highly agile, the bad guys would show up and he's backing off until he could put his hands together like he's shooting a web, and they would drop this really bad confetti looking net down on the bad guys. I'm like, wow, this is terrible.
So, low budget.
I never saw those, budget. But I heard about them.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah. It took him an hour to climb up the side of a building. the beginning of the second TV movie, it took him a half hour, and they kept using the same shot where he'd go up a few bits, and then he'd look down, and he clearly you could see it was a guy on a wire who's just trying to scramble to look like he's climbing a building. It got worse. There were some Captain America ones that I couldn't even watch. They basically he had like a big motorcycle helmet, and that's where they had the mask thing as the motorcycle helmet, because he was just riding around on a motorcycle everywhere, and it was awful.
So these didn't discourage you from keeping on with live-action superhero movies at all?
Well, I did try again when Birds of Prey came on. I watched one episode and I said, these people just ruined this.
You know, okay, I got a few episodes into that one and I was like, okay, it doesn't. It's bad. Yeah. I tried.
Now, are you talking about the early 2000s TV show with the women?
Yeah.
Live-action?
I think it was like late 90s, wasn't it?
It was 2002. Live
action, yeah. 2002, because I thought it was earlier than that. Wow.
Yeah, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that, okay, maybe not as good, but I mean, you got some actresses in there who have gone on to do some other stuff, so it's one of those things you can really appreciate, certainly by going back to, I think, now at this point.
Well, you know, Mia Sara was in it as Harleen Quinzel. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, Dina Meyer played Barbara Gordon, and, you know, she was awesome, and...
Yeah, Rachel Scarsdon, who's now on Lost Girl.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they, you know, but it was very cheesy, very poorly written.
Oh, yeah. Cheesy's a good word.
Yeah.
All right. And then we move on to Smallville. Now
we get into the better shows.
Yes. This is when, of course, you have a WB network. So because there's always been the DC and Warner Brothers connection, they've just been hitting it. And where how it seemed like for a long period of time, you know, like Marvel was really trying it and Incredible Hulk was kind of a hit. Now finally Smallville, and it's a hit.
Yeah.
Go Miss
Ice. You haven't seen this one, right, Ben? I think the last time I was listening to one of your podcasts, you said you hadn't seen this show.
I saw like the first two seasons, but it got into a term where everyone refers to it as the CW effect, where it became too much of a teen drama, and it also started getting repetitive of like, oh look, it's another meteorite baby or whatever, which I worry about the Flash
really
getting there,
that.
Because the Flash has a similar aspect where you had the accident of the explosion and now that's caused metahumans. Yep. So there's been times it scared me, like, oh, please don't get to where you're repetitive with, like, Smallville, and then having the long, drawn out, goodness sakes, and people just know that Clark is the one doing all this stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, so I need to go back and probably watch the whole thing. And my buddy Philip, who, you know, Lost Boy Phil to everybody around here, who was going to be known as the Kryptonian, if anyone has been to the website.
Nice.
Because he's the biggest Superman fan I've ever seen in my life. And he's, of course, got the entire series. And he keeps telling me, so, oh, it got better. They had a while that it did kind of get a little dull, but then it's really picked up. And apparently by the end, though, they finally got him into the full suit, and it was awesome.
Okay, so Ice, which season would you say that it really started to finally get its footing?
You know, the first couple seasons were really good, and then 5, 6, and 7 were really bad, and then 8, 9, and 10 picked up again. Because season 8 had Doomsday, season 9 began the relationship between Clark and Lois, and season 10 was just him turning into the hero despite destiny and despite all of these other things that the world was telling him that he should be, and he's just kind of defining himself. So, I mean, I just recently rewatched season 10 and was reminded of so many wonderful things about it. And it's very angsty. Sometimes it's so awkward. You want to fast forward.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if I'm just biased because I grew up with the show and watched every episode religiously, but I just love it. I can't not love it.
You know what I loved about it, though, is that I started the same kind of thing. Like I more grew up with it as well. So, you know, in the first few years when they're in high school, I don't know if I was in high school or just out of high school. I don't know, somewhere in there. But the point is I grew up kind of around that age. Mm-hmm. And as the show progressed, I would say the maturity and the age of the actual show progressed. And so it was easy for us to get into it. But if you're coming at it now, like as an adult, rewatching it, it would seem very like, ugh. I could see that.
Yeah, I could too.
I mean, I only watched a handful of episodes and there was only one thing that got me to watch that.
I can't imagine what that would be.
Erica Durance.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say it's between her or Kristen Crook.
I had a friend who sent me a YouTube clip of her in a red, white, and blue bikini on a strip of pole.
Okay.
I'm like, maybe I should check out some episodes of this show.
Oh, my gosh.
But in all honesty, Chloe Sullivan, who's portrayed by Allison Mack, is probably one of my or maybe my favorite character in all of television.
I
do know some other folks really were fans of it, and they said the same things like you were saying, Emily. If you can get past the angst, there is a lot of story here that you can really appreciate,
and a lot of great characters popped in. Martian Manhunter popped in. Great guest stars, like having Christopher Reeve on there as a researcher who had found the Kryptonian language. A lot of great stuff like that I remember watching. Just really was awesome.
Yeah,
and the stripper pole.
That was the only time anything like that ever really happened, too.
Yeah, no, I was very disappointed.
And then he gave it up.
Yeah, that was it.
There's plenty of leather pants, though. Stargirl comes in and is rocking the leather.
I did watch selected episodes, so yes, I did see some of that.
I just know there's going to be a bunch of YouTube searches now of Erica Durant's bikini. And
oh, jeez.
Well, if you'd like, I can pass along the link, not that I keep it around.
I will say this. Not appropriate for my Disney show.
No, not at all. I did love, what was her name? I forget. Well, okay, so the Supergirl. Clark's cousin.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
What was her name?
She came on.
Kara.
I thought she was cool. I wish they would have done more with her.
Yeah.
That was a neat little connection that they did.
I have heard rumors of a Supergirl TV show coming to CBS.
Yes.
It is. The rumors are true.
Really? That is so awesome.
It's going to happen.
The Greg Berlanti, who does Arrow, who's got some, behind a bit of Arrow and
Flash
actually had it written into his contract that Supergirl can cross over to Flash and Arrow.
That is so
even though it's on a different network on CBS.
How do you get to Supergirl without having Superman first, though?
Who cares? Details.
Important details. This is things comic book geeks obsess over, okay?
Well, here's what's going to happen.
I had no idea.
Alternate timeline. The son of Krypton dies and only the daughter of Krypton survives.
Oh, you'd have so many people mad.
I know. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? People would just throw a riot. I'm just kidding. I'm so tired of the Superman stories, though. Like, I have loved them, but it's like, enough already. Let's move on and do something new. And so,
yeah, and hit the reset button and let's not continue from Man of Steel. But I guess that's not going to happen either.
I'm so disappointed about that.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Marvel is killing it in the movie department, but DC has still got a real good strong presence on TV. So
they're killing it in TV for sure.
Yeah, they got their niches.
Now, of course, in Flash, I guess we'll get into that in a bit more details later. But Flash is the one that I've mainly been paying attention to. And, of course, Arrow, which the first season I've heard it was kind of slow. And so the second season is really when Arrow really kind of picked up and it's become a hit since then. And then Flash has just been killing it, which I didn't – the funny part is I didn't think there was any flaws to Flash. I was thinking, this is just a great show. I'm having so much fun watching it. And then I start listening to y'all's podcast, and your guys are like, well, we got to nitpick this out. Now, not to say we're not rating this an 8. This is a lot – we love this, but this was kind of terrible, and I really didn't like that scene. But I still absolutely love this episode, but this was wrong.
We love criticizing things.
Picked up on that, huh, did you?
Well, we were trying to be very thorough. I will say this about Arrow, though, for those, you know, because you're right. I've heard a lot of people who have said that season one was slow. But, you know, I started watching Arrow when it first came out, when it actually premiered. And I remember watching the first episode and going, oh, my gosh, that is one of the coolest shows I've ever seen. Because you got to understand, 2 years ago in 2012 or three now, two and a half now.
Yeah.
But when that first came out, it was revolutionary almost. And so seeing what Arrow was doing was new. And now that all of the other shows out there right now have gotten, you know, really flashy and high action, high octane kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Season one seems like a comatose season nowadays, even though 2.5 years ago, that was amazing. So I can see that. And that's why I think Flash started off with a bang too, is because it was like, season one of Arrow was almost like the prequel. It's like they need to see Oliver Queen go from a trying to figure himself out, you know, as a vigilante almost, so that he can basically turn himself into a hero. And that's kind of the whole point of that. Whereas Flash just boom, he's the hero. Go for it.
Yeah. he already had the mentality. He just needed the powers.
Exactly. And a little training.
Yeah. And a little training.
I mean, season one was, I call it a steady burn. It was not fast paced, but it was getting better and having more happen as it went on. So it was the ones you can appreciate as you're building the universe. That's one of the things hopefully Flash will be able to continue to do, since it's only, you know, half a season in, is that the great thing about that season one of Arrow is you were building the universe and the characters. You had a lot of stuff that was going to be referred back to once season two just hit it high octane on all directions. But you had the foundation to make that more than just, you know, eye candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Flash actually has a little bit of its beginnings from Arrow, because Barry had made an appearance apparently on Arrow, and so they had already established the character. Then they were just ready to spin him off, which is why I did recognize and I forgot the actor's name, who is playing the Atom. When I did see a bit of an Arrow episode last night, I saw them teasing and preparing that, and it makes me wonder, well, is Atom going to get his own show? Maybe Firestorm will get his own show, because we've been seeing him pop up in The Flash, and there's so many possibilities to expand it and have like an entire DC television universe, which is, I think, the only way they're really going to compete, when you have, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was brilliantly connected to, you know, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Events in that movie affected the TV series.
Yeah.
And so they've connected their TV and their movie. So DC, I think, really, they're missing the ball, really, when they're not connecting their current movies, even if they're going to be crap and have Ben Affleck as Batman. But by not connecting them with what they've got going on television, and not even having Gotham connected somehow, because Gotham is, oh my gosh, that is a fantastic show. And I was worried about it becoming just another cop show, because you're following around Jim Gordon. But it's been so much more, because it is a bit of a cop show, but it's just such great storytelling, and it even gets you kind of rooting for the Penguin a little bit. You want to see what he does next, even though he's doing some horrible things to people.
I will say this, though, that I'm still wondering if they're going to connect Gotham, because it's a prequel. You know, they can't do much right now, but they have made a few references that have only been in Arrow. Like, they brought up the Dollmaker, and Dollmaker makes an appearance in season two of Arrow twice. And you're kind of like, ooh, what's going on? So there have been a few little tiny references like that, that if you don't know Arrow, you wouldn't catch them. But if you do, you're like, well, I wonder.
Yeah, and they've brought in some Batman villains to fight with Arrow, too. So they've gotten a bit of connection that maybe...
And they have a Queen Consolidated logo somewhere in Gotham. It's like a branch of Queen Consolidated.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing
see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same logo, too. So I wonder if they're going to do something.
That would be cool.
Yeah, but you're right about the TV shows versus the movies. DC's really missing out on that. I don't know what they're thinking, but I mean, even the actors are kind of like, this is dumb, but yeah, it's what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And especially now with Agent Carter, who's kind of filling in the gap on S.H.I.E.L.D. Really good show. And I'm just wondering if by the end, with the storyline that's going, if it's going to connect itself into S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, because it's already part of the cinematic universe as far as like the, you know, Captain America, the First Avenger, you know, connects directly or, you know, like right after those events pretty much. But to be able to connect it to the more modern times and then maybe even find a way to have Agent Carter come back, maybe a summer season, you know, whenever there's not a new episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., switch over to Agent Carter, you know, would be fantastic and keep it going. And maybe even have some origins for some villains, you know, that you know, you could dive into Hydra and have a few villains maybe that were old school Hydra villains that are maybe going to be popping up later, you know, that kind of a thing. There's so much possibility, and that's, you know, for to really be competitive, I think DC needs to get with the program. I mean, they're at least learning with their movies. They're trying to interconnect now with after launching Man of Steel. They want to connect a Wonder Woman through that and eventually you know, come around and have a Justice League movie, which – it's like, yay, cool, but you're a little bit too late with that because the Avengers already just kicked your butt all over the place.
Yeah.
And you're going to just look like a copycat to anyone who's not knowing that the Justice League actually did come first, you know?
True.
Did you ever see that fan-made epic trailer for a, you know, a proposed Justice League versus Avengers mashup?
That was fantastic.
You saw that?
Yes.
I thought that was awesome. That was so well done.
Oh, I was giddy, like, oh, I wish
some
this was
great
real.
One-liners in there.
Yes.
There's a lot going around right now about people wanting to see a DC versus Marvel kind of thing, whatever that may be. Not even just from that, but there's talks about it. And I don't know how serious it is, you know, with the actual Marvel and DC coming together and actually doing something, but that would be amazing.
Well, I got really two words for you. Roger Rabbit. Very hard to get that done, and they had to sign so many agreements because the Warner Brothers characters had to get just as much playtime as the Disney characters, but it did happen. Now, of course, there was nearly a prequel to Roger Rabbit called Who Discovered Roger Rabbit. The music was even written for, and you can actually hear one of the songs. I forgot the name of the whoever sung it. I've posted it up on the Facebook and Twitter if anyone's paying attention. But there was a song actually written for it, and I think some other songs. And this movie was on its way, but it just didn't quite get going. And I think one of the difficulties they might be having is trying to negotiate crossing over the characters. And so, you know, granted now with a DC and Marvel type of thing, Disney's already got some experience with trying to cross over characters. But now then you also look at the problems they're having. Apparently there were some talks at some point to maybe share Spider-Man with Sony to where Spider-Man could pop up in some Avengers movies. But we know that Sony has saying, no, we're keeping this as long as we can and you're not touching a Spider-Man. So,
well, they're going to cross over, it sounds like, Quicksilver. Because Avengers 2 is going to have Quicksilver, and X-Men had Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. Not the same actor, but
yeah,
still,
not the same
actor. But it seems like there might be a few things that are starting, potentially. Yeah.
Well, here's how that works, though, because Quicksilver is one of the Avengers in the comics, but they – and I don't even know if they are allowed to call him Quicksilver. They cannot mention him being a mutant. They cannot mention his father being Magneto. They have to keep it as completely separate. And the weird thing is in X-Men Days of Future Past, they showed the Scarlet Witch in there, which is supposed to be his twin sister, but showed her as a baby. And like, wait a minute, no, she's a twin.
Yeah.
So they've already messed it up. But of course, now Avengers gets to come out and do it right because Marvel Studios has actually done a much better job of, you know, being faithful to the source material.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll see them presented, but I'm sure no one will ever mention probably how they got their powers, and they might not even be given any titles. They might just go by their actual names. Kind of like Hawkeye. You'll never hear in Avengers. No one will ever call him Hawkeye.
Yeah.
He was only called Agent Barton.
Well,
sort of the Black Widow. She's never actually called the Black Widow.
Yeah, that's true.
But she's Agent Romanoff.
Although I will say they didn't call him Quicksilver in X-Men either.
Right.
So maybe that's partially where they're getting away with being. I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do?
We'll find out here. Age of Ultron, May 1st.
I'm excited, though. Yeah.
Oh, and I did get to see that trailer this week, right? Because I watched the Oregon Ducks game just for Lost Boy Jesse because he went to Oregon and he loves him. So I watched that game just so far as to see that trailer and then cry for poor Jesse as his Ducks got the daylights knocked out of him.
Right.
So,
game was worth turning off after that.
Yeah, I was trying to support Jesse, but all I could do is say, you know, the next day, it's like, well, now you know how we felt here in Kansas City when our Royals unexpectedly went to the World Series, was dominant through the playoffs to get there, and then still lost in the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. But anyways, that's a sport thing. We're moving on.
Try rooting for sports in Minnesota. Luckily, I'm a Packers fan.
Yeah, you'd have to be. Even without Brett Favre, you still got to love your Packers, right?
Of course.
Sure.
Of
course. No love for the
Vikings.
Doesn't
get better
though.
Than... No.
Okay, well, now, Arrow, I missed out on, as I said, I only watched like the first season. I did kind of catch, of course, when they crossed over with Flash, I had to watch that. And I did catch quite a bit of their midseason finale. But overall, so what sort of things have happened with Arrow, and what might we hope to see coming?
Oh, are you ready for spoilers?
Be careful, just in case, but... There might be other people out there who maybe haven't watched Arrow, but maybe they've been watching The Flash and are like, gee,
salmon ladders.
Salmon ladders.
That's the ladders. Two words for you. These are the only two words you need to go watch this show.
Black Canary? Is that what you were going to say, Emily?
No, that was definitely
Felicity.
Not. Oh, Felicity. That's two
that's
words.
That's not two words.
Yeah, it is. Felicity.
Did you see the Ripped Apparel t-shirts today?
No,
there's a Felicity t-shirt there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, so you're hearing some of what's going on with Arrow. Get ready to say Arrow Squad, but Podcast Overlord, why don't you give us your 60-second synopsis?
Well, I mean, I assume many folks obviously listening here are going to be well aware of Green Arrow and Arrow from the comics world and all. I mean, this take is... a little grittier. It's more about the group that is going to be built up around Oliver Queen. And also, it's a chance to see the growth of a character and a lot of backstory that goes along with him. And as we've mentioned, many of the names of some villains and bad guys and so forth that he has to deal with that are going to shape who he becomes. And how he tries to do his work in Starling City, as it's called in the TV show. So you're going to honor what a lot of people know, but you're going to also take it in enough of a spin to be its own universe. I came to the show having known very, very little about the comic universe and the previous occurrence on Smallville even. So even with that, I could get completely immersed and very much attached to seeing where they go. Choreography of the fight scenes and the action that occurs within the series is some of the top-notch stuff you're going to see on TV anywhere. And as we said a little earlier, season one, slow burn. You really appreciate the background. By the back half, you've got a bad guy in there that really is quite good. And then by season two, it is rocking at full speed. And as Brian was saying, shows like The Flash and some of these other newer genre shows realized from Arrow just how well you could do it by hitting the ground running and not having to feel like you have to build it up. So it's been quite the journey. And I don't want to spoil anyone who hasn't seen it to realize that as long as you realize it's going to honor the past, but it's going to create its own path, you can really enjoy where it goes.
I got to say that the story for me has been phenomenal because, you know, you look at what's been going on. They're writing intelligent storyline. You know, they're keeping you engaged. It's not just about the bad guy of the week, or it's not just about the action, but there's a lot of character development in ways that I've never seen on a TV show, truthfully. And one of the things I love is that they kind of jokingly said, although they followed through with this very well, that if you guys, you know, have you read the comics? And people go, yeah. And then they say, okay, we're going to mess with you. We're going to take everything that you know about the comics, and then we're going to step on it and start over, kind of thing. Like, that's kind of their whole point, is they're trying to confuse the fans that what you may know about the comics may or may not be exactly how they show it in the show, which has been very interesting. They surprise us all the time. And, you know, a lot of times they'll try to make you think like this happened or this person did that and this person or whatever. And then they, you know, they keep you on a loop or some kind of a crazy ride for 10 episodes or something like that before they actually have some kind of a reveal. So it's been a really, really fun show. And then how they've, you know, integrated The Flash, bringing Barry Allen in for two episodes in December of 2013, it was really neat because, you know, they brought him in naturally, kind of like, the Barry Allen, you know, like, this is cool. And then they've started to really integrate that well. And then the way that during the crossover is it's brilliant. And the fact that they're doing crossovers in a way that is so in depth is just amazing. Like, it's the kind of stuff I think we've all been wanting for so long. So yeah, it's a great show. Totally worth it.
Yeah, getting to see some DC characters actually interact in DC Heroes, it's kind of never been done like this before. Because I know Smallville teased a little bit of, like, there was it wasn't a Justice League, but it was like the Justice Society that they had Clark kind of stumble onto. And I know Hawkman made a bit of an appearance, and he got to interact with Martian Manhunter and stuff like that. But to have the kind of relationship now that Barry and Oliver Queen have has been really interesting, because it's like they come from different worlds, very much so, and their mentalities, because you know, this version of Green Arrow, he's very Batman, he's very grim, but he's smart, and it makes him to where he can rival, when they had like the question of, you know, well, Flash has powers, but Oliver Queen, he's smart. He knows how to set traps. He's quick. He's got a really great aim. He can be every bit the equal without the powers. But to have him be able to mentor the Flash and kind of, you know, like, well, hey, I've been doing this for a while, and kind of be able to train him a little bit. But then yet, when we crossed over into an episode of Arrow, Barry was able to help, you know, keep Arrow from being too far over the edge, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when he was pushing the thing up there, Barry was like, "Well, no, no, whoa, 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 slow down here. We don't need to do that." You know, I don't want to spoil it by saying what he did, just in case nobody saw this episode out there.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was this really kind of intense scene where Barry's just like shocked, like, "Oh, hey!" And then Arrow even tells him, and it was a very Batman thing to do, because this is a line right from Batman. Batman loves to say, "This is my city; that we do things my way."
Yeah.
You know, so we had this nice little confrontation there, but it was kind of nice to see them, they kind of play off of each other, and they kind of help each other out to be better heroes together, and that's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it's neat. Yeah, I would highly encourage you to go and like watch Arrow, and you're not going to choke through season one, by the way. Like, it's really good. Just realize it's slower.
Yeah,
but it's good. I mean, the story development and the character development and the leading up to what's going on, there's still now, right now in season three, in fact, the mid-season finale of season three is still developing some of the flashback storyline that we saw in like the first couple of episodes of season one.
Yeah.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah. At the end of the mid-season, when hit the bleep button.
When, you know, you're talking about when Oliver does, I totally messed that one up. You have to edit that out. Here I'll go. Are you saying when Oliver...
Yes, exactly. And it's like, oh my gosh, how can the series continue? Because Oliver just...
It's amazing, man. I
just did salmon ladders. I don't know why you have to bleep that out.
You're distracted.
Well, of course she was distracted. Oliver had his shirt off in the last fight of that episode.
Yeah, you mean when he... Exactly. I know what you mean. It's so awesome.
Did you read the interview that Stephen Amell gave after that episode aired? Like they had asked him, "Do you really want to do this with your shirt off?" And he wanted to keep it true to the storyline or to the comic books. Jeremy, you might be able to defend that a little bit, but so he wanted to make it as authentic as possible. And they had already spent a couple hours putting all of the scars and bruises on his chest and back, and so he wasn't about to back out of that.
Mm. Yeah,
but I can only imagine how long it takes to get all that makeup on.
Well, the only way I know I can back that up, because I'm a Marvel guy and my DC guy couldn't show up, but I do have a good recollection. There was a great Batman series called Hush, where somebody had learned Batman's identity and was messing with his personal life. And there's just, he, of course, when Ra's al Ghul knows who he is, of course, so he goes to confront him, and there's this great cover where they're surrounded by fire, and they're having a sword duel, and Batman is wearing his cowl and everything, but he's got his shirt off, and Ra's al Ghul the same way. It's like that. That is that shirtless kind of sword duel kind of thing. That's a Ra's al Ghul kind of thing. And so I think that's what they were going for. That really reminded me, only instead of the flames and everything that surrounded the battle, it was ice and snow and having a mountain that somebody might miss their cue.
you're talking about like when you're on the mountain and they can actually like, is that what you're talking about? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just making sure I understood you. I still can't believe that they. It's just, I mean, that just blows my mind. So I guess we'll find out what happens.
Yes.
Ultimate cliffhanger. Marvel?
Yeah, Marvel's a cuss word on Arrow and Flash on our Arrow Squad and Central City Undergrounds because, you know, it's competition.
Well, welcome to Neverland where we can say Marvel all we want to.
I know, it's awesome.
Well, Marvel, I thought you said this was Marvel. A family-friendly podcast.
That's right, because Marvel's always been more family-friendly. How more family-friendly can you get than a guy that has claws extend out of his hands and he cuts up bat? No, wait a minute.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Not very family-friendly, is it? Oh, well.
Get out of the bar, freak. Is that what you're talking about?
You lost the fight. Wolverine, now get in here before you lose something else.
One of my favorites. I love Wolverine. Oh, he's awesome. I dressed up as Wolverine for Halloween 1 year, and I wasn't sure if I could do this because I'd never done this, but I grew the chops.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before now twice.
Oh, man. I looked awesome.
I've done Wolverine twice and Spider-Man, I think, 3 times now.
That's awesome.
Oh, yes, because that's how I roll.
Emily, have you done Wolverine for Halloween?
You know, I've never actually been able to grow out the sideburns. Oh.
Well, you
I can't say I've tried very hard.
But you could dress as X-23.
Ooh.
She's a clone of Wolverine.
Nice.
She's got 2 claws in her hands and 1 claw out of each foot.
Oh, well, now that's
that yeah. Seems like that would be difficult.
Be great in the snow and ice.
Sure.
Hey.
Yeah. Although it actually fits you, Miss Ice.
You're right. No. I'm living in the land of ice right now.
Yeah.
Well, not at Neverland. Well, there is. If you need ice, there's ice on Neverland. We do keep penguins. Okay, but well, let's move on to talking about. There's a new series of The Flash on right now. This is stuff that I had not caught on to because I wasn't really paying attention to Flash comics. But a couple of characters on here, like. I didn't realize there was any more extra stuff going on with Caitlin Snow or Cisco Ramon.
You mean you didn't know that they were comic book characters?
No, I thought maybe they had just been created for the show when I first started watching because they were part of his team. So I did not know that they actually had a history. Now, Eddie Thawne I knew was supposed to be important. Because I was watching it before my buddy Philip was, and he asked about, hey, has this person popped up or this person popped up? And I says, well, there's an Iris West. I know she's important because I'm familiar at least a little bit. The only Flash comics I've really read is I read some of the issues that I think they're actually kind of dealing with in the series where you had a reverse Flash who came in who turned out to be Professor Zoom, but he had pretended to be Barry when he first came in. And I've read the issues where the real Barry came back in. And they started discovering a little bit more about the Speed Force and everything. And it was like a prelude before the whole Flashpoint started happening. And I know you guys got to watch the Flashpoint animated.
Yeah.
Which I guess sets up the New 52. But yeah, Caitlin Snow, I did not realize. Okay, spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did not actually give a spoiler warning. You know, neither Brian and I we're not that heavy into comics. So what we were learning as we were starting the podcast was a lot, was just like starting from scratch and starting to figure out who all of these characters were. So we were learning in that process that Caitlin Snow and Cisco Ramon were actually from the comics. And so when we're kind of talking about this, it didn't really even occur to me that it was that much of a spoiler because it's like part of that universe.
Yeah.
I know that's probably a really bad excuse, but so...
Yeah,
totally messed some people up with that.
Yeah.
You know, we made people cry and destroyed lives over it. But hey, yeah. You know, we were just telling them as it was.
So. Yeah, so if you're a comic fan, if you're a fan of the Flash comics, you probably already know who Caitlin Snow becomes and who Cisco Ramon becomes.
Yeah.
But if not, we'll talk about it over the next, give us about 5 minutes. So skip ahead about 5 minutes starting about now. Okay, so Caitlin Snow is the third incarnation of Killer Frost. Holy cow. And I don't know if they're going to get into this on the show, but I could see it working because when I did some research, the second Killer Frost was around the longest and she was a pure villain. But the third Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow is supposed to have been, she was on a research type of thing in some sort of Arctic area and some terrorists came in and she was a hostage and some freak accident happened and turned her into like basically a heat vampire where she has to drain heat off of people. So I can see her being maybe a tragic version of Killer Frost. So she doesn't have to really become evil to become Killer Frost on the show, but it would be very interesting.
Interesting.
Especially since they've already brought in Firestorm and had him be her fiancé. They're like, for them to be actual fire and ice would be just awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just knowing that the Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow character becomes a villain, it's really interesting to see her in this context now. And you know, just like Arrow, they may just be messing with us completely and they're going to change things up. But just the possibility that she may become a villain, it's really interesting to see where they've taken her character right now and even how they've kind of given her some sort of romantic rapport with Barry. I'm not sure if I'm just misreading that, but there are some things that she has done that make it seem like she's interested in him or maybe just on the rebound or something. But
oh yeah, I'd say so too.
Yeah. So well, it's just it'd
be
kind of
fun
cool
if
they
get really close before she kind of becomes a villain. And you know, she's not really going to be an evil villain the way I'm thinking, but for them to have a confrontation after they get maybe as close to where it seems like there is an attraction would just be good drama.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, and to add to the, no angst at all on the show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could use a little bit of angst. That was sarcasm for anybody not picking up on that. I was raising my hand.
That's funny.
Okay. No, but you're,
I like that though, because it's definitely a, you know, not knowing exactly what they're going to be doing, like with her, like you said, or even some of the people, because having Caitlin become Killer Frost would be just tragic. Because, I mean, I'm really grown to like her character a lot.
Oh, me too.
But not to mention, she's really cute.
and that's the beauty of, you know, what these writers love to do is they love
to
destroying
love to tear
her.
Our hair out. Yeah. So, hair out, heart out. Yeah,
they just pulled all your hair out. Why? I'm heartbroken.
Is that what you do when you're heartbroken?
Yeah, that's funny.
But before we run out of our 5 minutes that hopefully people are skipping ahead for without spoilers, but Cisco Ramon actually becomes a superhero, and I forgot what he was called.
Vibe. Yes.
And from what I understand, Vibe is supposed to be the one who can, restrain Barry, or maybe he's the one that can kind of, I don't even know what the words I'm looking for.
Slow
he's supposed
down.
To slow him down. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But
that's what I thought too. But
okay,
again, I'm not as well versed in the Flash comics, so I don't know for sure exactly what
and
he does.
So it's really just stuff that we've been picking up from listeners posted in the Facebook group and such, and you know, trying to retain whatever we can because there's just so much information out there that we're just kind of gotten to the point where we're going let's try to enjoy the show and pick up on things as it comes because I've just lost track of everything.
Well, and it's like when they started bringing in the Reverse Flash, the Yellow Streak. And everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you know what? We know there's at least two, if not more. And I know in the comics there were 5 versions. But again, I don't know all the backstory.
Yeah.
So, and I know, well, because I'm not going to give away any spoilers on this one, but if you haven't seen the last episode, you'll understand what I mean by you know that there's two. And I knew that one of the guys immediately, just because I could tell his voice, being that I'm a sound guy and a musician, there's the scene in the stadium when the Reverse Flash is talking to Barry and I'm like, I know exactly who that is. I can tell even through the voice modulation, just sounds like him. But then when you see the other Reverse Flash, basically in that cage, that little thing that they trapped him in, it was a different voice. And so I'm like, there's two, there's definitely two. And then the theories started exploding with, well, there's actually 5 iterations, and then oh my gosh, people just went off, and I'm like, I am so lost right now. I have no idea, but you guys are amazing, and that's what I love is having the people jump in and start educating everybody on here's what's going on, and we don't know what they're going to do with it, but here's the possibilities.
Right, and even just knowing that these possibilities exist kind of expands what we're able to theorize on, just as general fans that don't really know the comics, because. Yeah. Because that, you know, Brian and I like to talk about time travel on the show too. You know, just the possibilities that this blows open are just awesome. Yeah.
Alternate universes,
tachyons.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. Here's where I'm going. Where I think that the theory runs is okay. So the Professor Zoom version of Reverse Flash is someone from the future who is obsessed with the Flash. He's a fan. He would want to look out for his welfare.
Hmm.
He has some way has tapped into the Speed Force where he can travel time. He figures out how the powers work because he's already knows the Flash can do all these things.
Yeah.
So he can go back in time. Now, in the comics, he did plastic surgery to himself to look like Barry Allen and took his place for a while. So,
interesting.
Now, we know Eddie Thawne has been a reverse Flash as well.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my thought. What if in the future, Eddie Thawne, who has kind of had a bit of a rivalry with the Flash, we'll say, and has maybe wanted a task force, and maybe is a little jealous over Iris, but maybe he becomes kind of obsessed with him as he gets older. But he knows, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to fix this, and I want to be the Flash. I want to have the power. He knows that there was this accident, and Dr. Harrison Wells died in this accident. So he thinks, if I go back in time to the accident, and I get plastic surgery and make myself look like Harrison Wells, I can become that new Flash. I can guide him and teach him to become him, but I can also find ways to steal his power with tachyon particles. And I know how to travel time, so I can go back and make everybody think I'm in two places at once. So this is my thought, is that this Harrison Wells, he's not the real Harrison Wells. The real Harrison Wells did die, but in order to help go with the illusion, because there might have been people seeing Harrison Wells caught in the accident and expecting to be injured, he'll come out in a wheelchair and say, "So no, see, I was in the accident. I'm just hurt really bad." But in truth, he wasn't hurt. He has time traveled from the future, which is why he has this newspaper print and connection with the future, because that's where he's from.
Oh my gosh, I really thought I'd heard every theory that was actually possible, but yeah. I've not heard that one.
And this is something I've had in mind since like the first episode when he went into that room and they'd had the yellow flashes of stuff, and I was like, oh wait, reverse flashes, because I had read the issues, like I'd told you before, of where this guy from the future, who was Professor Zoom, had faked being Barry. I was like, well, what if instead of faking being Barry, he's faking being Harrison Wells?
Interesting.
And because he's in the future, he could have researched and known everything about Harrison Wells to be impersonating him ever since that accident. But now, of course, the Eddie Thawne we're currently seeing in the show, the young one, doesn't know anything about all the stuff of his future self. So that way, everybody who's supposed to be a reverse Flash is a reverse Flash.
Huh.
Man.
Wow.
And this is something I was actually about to tell you, Brian. Once I remember, I tweeted you a long time ago. It's like, I got this thing figured out, but it might be really spoiler heavy, so I don't know if I want to tell you. And you were like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you know what's funny about this is I love it, because this is the beauty of all of these these ideas and these theories, is because we really have absolutely no idea. And that's what I mean, the writers are laughing at us right now, you know? You guys are idiots. This is hilarious, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to throw us off so much.
Yeah, which is really, it was a great game they played actually, because I'm a Spider-Man fan. I'm the Spider-Pan is my nickname. But there was an art animated series called Spectacular Spider-Man. Now, everybody knows the Green Goblin is Norman Osborn, and then Harry Osborn becomes the Green Goblin later. Well, in the animated series Spectacular Spider-Man, they led you to believe for a long time that Harry was the Green Goblin first. And you go through most of the series thinking, oh, wow, they just jumped straight to Harry? And then by the end of I guess it was around the end of the first season, suddenly, bam, it was Norman the whole time. They threw us all off by actually starting to make even the people like me, who I've read Spider-Man for decades. And I was like, oh, well, I guess they just jumped to Harry, but that kind of works, because they're going with a young teenage kind of Spider-Man, and this is kind of cool that Harry is becoming the Green Goblin. And then, bam, oh, yeah, it really is Norman. What were you thinking, Harry? Come on, you know better. And it just blew us away. And so I'm expecting that now, because you know, we'll talk about with Arrow and even with The Flash, how the writers are thinking, oh, well, we're going to take what you know, but we're going to turn it on its head. And then that way they can kind of fake like, no, we're not doing anything related to the comics. Oh, yes, we are. Or they can be like, look how close to the comics we're being. But, oh, we're going to twist it on you just a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's what I've loved most about both shows, is that the people who haven't been reading the comic books are at least – well, I should say more that in Arrow, they can compete with the theories more than they can in The Flash. But and yet, at the same time, the writers are still able to throw curveballs. Would you agree?
Oh, yes.
Okay, cool.
They're curving ball in every which way. just keeping us going and everything, especially because I'm not that familiar with some of the DC characters. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't make the connection with Firestorm until he had said his own name. I was like, oh, I know who Firestorm is. Oh my gosh, there he is. He's in the show. Yeah.
It's so helpful when these villains or heroes identify themselves, right?
Yeah. Or I love it when Cisco names them. He reminds me of Michelangelo in the current Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who's like, I'm so good at naming stuff.
Yeah.
I love Cisco. He's just awesome. And he names everything. It's just,
Oh, man. He's one of my favorite
Cisco
characters now.
So awesome.
And he's the perfect connection for that geek guy who's going to be watching the show. He's the one you're going to relate to because he acts just like we do when we're like geeking out over stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. So he's like our angle. He's the one we relate to most of all, probably. Mm-hmm. I guess we've covered everything here then.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm out.
Short of, I know I'm out of ideas too.
I have a brain freeze. What can I say?
I don't know what just happened.
Okay. Well, definitely got to thank all three of you for coming here to Neverland. I'm glad I could come and pixie dust you and rescue you from certain destruction at the hands of the people who don't want the truth out there.
We appreciate that because I was getting a little nervous. Things have heated up a lot lately and we've been a little concerned. In fact, we're wondering how long our luck's going to be holding out anyway.
Yeah,
it was nice to just get out of the danger zone for a while.
I've heard there's a yellow streak that's been going around now, too.
Yeah.
Life on the edge for you guys.
I'm telling you what. Edge.
Yeah. Oh, so if people want to check out and hear this podcast, Central City Underground, just search for that. I figure you can find it online on iTunes, Stitcher. Perhaps.
Yep. Central City Underground, look for Golden Spiral Media, and both Arrow Squad and Central City Underground are produced by Golden Spiral Media. So either on iTunes or just search in the web, you will find us pretty quickly.
Yeah, and we've got our web domains too, centralcityunderground.com and arrowsquad.com too.
And Twitter pages?
Go for it.
Central City Underground is The Flash GSM.
And Arrow Squad is at Arrow Squad GSM on Twitter.
And we've got Facebook groups for Central City Underground and Arrow Squad as well. And we love having people come and join us on there because the discussions get intense, numerous, and they don't get heated, though. People are awesome on that, like, community. They love talking and sharing and helping each other out. And we started a whole thing where it was like, hey, spoilers coming up, you know, put all your episode recap spoilers here. So that people weren't just posting it all over the place. And now we've got our awesome Arrow Squad community doing that for us. And we didn't even ask them. Like, people just jump in and go for it. So love to have you on that community. It's so much fun.
People are really anxious to just talk about the episode that just aired. And it's just fun to see what people's immediate reactions are. So
if you're
watching the shows, come join these groups. And it's just easy to get yourself right in there. But you'll also need a superhero name, so be thinking of that.
Yes.
And make sure you think of your Lost Boy or Pixie name so you can become a Neverlander
as well. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it.
Two universes you got to cover there.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And if you happen to be a podcaster and you want to jump in the journey to try to grow your podcast and maybe if you wanted to monetize it, you could, or if you just want to show it profitable as being, wow, I have a lot of people who are listening and following along and I get to interact with and have this community, definitely check out ProfitCast, which is also on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yeah, appreciate that. And it's ProfitCastUniverse.com for the webpage as well. And I did start a Twitter at ProfitCast, but I'm still debating whether or not I'm going to keep that because I just use mine, which is at I Am The Real Brian, which I enjoy. And I just seem to have more interaction there anyway, but we'll see where it goes. Yeah. I'm actually going to be chronicling Arrow Squad specifically more. And I'm pumped about this because we're going to be, you know, showing what we're doing to grow Arrow Squad and what we've been doing to interact with our community and everything else too. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Neverland feedback.
Okay, so now we do have a few shout outs and actually a new Lost Boy to mention, other than the Lost Boys and Pixie that we actually added at the beginning of the today show. But we have some new Twitter followers: Oakley Buckley, Carla Kim, Pierre Kelly, Charlene Ratcliffe, and Hey Jamie. So welcome into following us here on Twitter, and don't forget you can follow us at Twitter at Neverland PCast. Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Neverland Podcast. We also do have a Facebook group, which you will have to search for on Facebook by simply searching for Neverland Podcast. You should be able to find that group. I can't get that specific about the link because it's complicated, but if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, on the right side of the page, you will find a link to join the Neverlanders going into the Facebook group. Also, you can join the Neverlanders and become a Lost Boy or a Pixie by simply sending an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Tell me what your first name is, because you will be Lost Boy or Pixie, blank your first name. And then, of course, as every Lost Boy needs to have, just come up with a good nickname, and as long as it's acceptable, which it shouldn't be difficult for you, just come up with something that tells us a little bit about yourself, that is, of course, family-friendly, and it becomes your official nickname, and we'll post it right up onto our page. If you go to neverlandpodcast.com, you will find a link across the top there that says Neverlanders with an exclamation point, and that is where you will find our current list of our Neverlanders. All you have to do is declare yourself to never grow up. You can grow wise, you can grow strong, but never grow up. That is our pledge. But we did receive this email from our new Lost Boy Jeff. And he says, I'm Lost Boy Jedi Fish, big fan of Star Wars, Disney, Indiana Jones, and anything from the 80s and 90s pop culture. Well, it seems like you fit right into this show and with our Lost Boy. So welcome, Jedi Fish, also known as Lost Boy Jeff. But we'll call you Jedi Fish anytime you interact with us. Also, we do need to choose us a winner for the Greg Weissman book, Reign of the Ghosts, and I have randomly selected from the entries I received, and funnily enough, our new Lost Boy is actually our winner. Lost Boy Jedi Fish, Jeff Fisher, if you would please send me an... Oh, wait a minute, is it Fisher, or did I get your... No, I'm sorry, it's Fishbach. I'm already messing up your name. Well, we'll just call you Jedi Fish. But email me your address where I can send this book, and I will get that out to you as quickly as possible. And after you've read it, you know, send us another feedback and let us know what you thought of the book. I'm sure that Greg Weissman will appreciate the little extra mentions that we give him. But that wraps up our show for this week, so I do want to remind you to keep a pixie in your pocket and keeping that positive attitude. Come back next week when we have Len Smith, a Disney artist, who's going to talk to us and share stories about some of the things he's worked on that you're going to be very familiar with. He's one of those unsung heroes out there, and you're going to enjoy hearing all the things that he's got to talk about next week right here on the Neverland Podcast. But until I see you again, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. We love to hear from you on twitter.com/NeverlandPcast and facebook.com/NeverlandPodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492 and send email to podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. Join us next week and we'll once again go to Disney and beyond. The Neverland Podcast is copyright Blue Band Productions and all original content belongs to the same. Other content is copyright of their respective creators and is used under Creative Commons license.
Good night, Neverland!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.